News Talk 1400 WOND, South Jersey's News Talk leader. Listen online at WONDradio.com.
It's 2 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Scott Goldberg. We're now hearing some of Senator John McCain's final words 2 days after his death. Family spokesman Rick Davis read a letter the late senator wrote shortly before his passing.
Americans never quit. We never surrender. We never hide from history. We make history. Farewell, fellow Americans. God bless you, and God bless America.
McCain died after a battle with brain cancer. Former Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama will be among the speakers at a ceremony this coming Saturday in Washington. Then on Sunday, McCain will be buried at the U.S. Naval Academy. After more than a half dozen rounds of negotiations, the Trump administration says it's moving toward a trade deal with Mexico that would replace NAFTA and maybe leave out Canada.
President Trump says he'll end the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, which he's called one of the worst deals in history. He announced today in the Oval Office a preliminary understanding with Mexico.
I like to call this deal the United States-Mexico Trade Agreement. I think it's an elegant name. I think NAFTA has a lot of bad connotations for the United States because it was a ripoff.
Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
The island in New York Harbor that's home to the Statue of Liberty has been evacuated.
The National Park Service evacuated Liberty Island after several propane tanks caught fire. There was some kind of mishap with a construction crew working in a spot where a new museum's being built. The flames have been extinguished, but the fire department determined it would be safer if everybody boarded boats off the island. Visitors that hadn't yet boarded for Liberty Island were held at the dock.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Investigators are still searching for a motive in yesterday's deadly mass shooting in Jacksonville, Florida. Two people were killed at a Madden video game tournament. Then the gunman took his own life. Christopher McFarland says a bullet grazed his head.
I want to get home to my bed and lock the door and stay there.
11 people in total were injured. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 267 points. You're listening to ABC News.
It's time. Time to join the millions of people that meet happy with Zoom video conferencing. Zoom gives you flawless video, crystal clear audio, and instant sharing across any mobile, tablet, or desktop device. But the best thing about Zoom? It just works. So ditch the distractions, join the movement, and meet happy with Zoom video conferencing. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free account today. That's Zoom.us, Zoom video conferencing.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra-long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
South Jersey's News Talk, 1400 WOND.
Good afternoon, South Jersey. WOND News Time is 2:03. It's 85 degrees here at the studios of Longport Media in Linwood. The heat index is 94. I'm Warren Prosser. The New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy conditionally vetoed two bills that would have established tax incentives around the Atlantic City International Airport, the Cape May County Airport, and the Woodbine Airport that officials have argued was critical in helping establish an aviation industry in Atlantic and Cape May counties. The veto was not a total defeat, but was rather a setback because Murphy said he would be willing to sign similar bills in the future if there are some changes made. Those changes include expiration on the tax incentives in July 2019, adding a provision that includes the retention or creation of a certain amount of jobs for every company that benefits from the tax incentives, and for Atlantic County, a zoning issue with the Pinelands. The bills will now be sent back to the state legislature for changes and must pass both the Assembly and Senate again before it can be signed. Despite the setbacks, officials in Atlantic County said in a recent interview that potential deals with tenants looking to move into the first building at the National Aviation Research and Technology Park in Egg Harbor Township are not contingent on getting tax incentives from the state. WOND News Time is 2:04. The name on the back of Mike Trout's jersey Friday night was not there Saturday or Sunday, but it will forever remain in the heart of the Angels center fielder. As a tribute to Aaron Cox, his 24-year-old brother-in-law, who died August 15th, Trout wore A. Cox on his number 27 jersey. It was Trout's way to honor a family member, his hunting, fishing, golfing, and bowling buddy, and a fellow baseball player. Cox, the younger brother of Trout's wife, Jessica Tara Cox, and until recently a pitching prospect in the Angels farm system, died from what a New Jersey State Police spokesman said was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Cox was rushed by ambulance from the Driftwood RV Resort and Campground to the Atlantic Care Regional Medical Center in Atlantic City. He died 4 days later. Trout declined to discuss the circumstances surrounding Cox's death. Trout posted a heartfelt tribute to Cox on his Instagram account Thursday, the day after Cox's memorial service in Vineland, and a day before he resumed playing for the Angels after a three-week absence. The next night, in his first game since he suffered a right wrist injury on August 1st, Trout lined the first pitch he saw for a triple. He played all three weekend games against Houston, going 4-for-11. Trout said after Friday night's game he was emotionally drained and still reeling from Cox's death. Trout married Jessica last December, but the pair began dating at Millville High School. WOND News Time is 2:06. Let's go to the Longport Media 24-Hour Weather Center and another check on the weather with Chief Meteorologist Dan Skelvin. Hey, Dan, what can South Jersey expect?
Mostly sunny, increasing heat and humidity today and really right on through the middle of the week. Great beach weather. Your water temperature, good place to be, mid to upper 70s. On the sand, it's mid to upper 80s this afternoon and every afternoon through Wednesday. Mainland will climb through the 90s. Look for a south wind today, about 10 miles an hour. Next tide, a low tide around 3 o'clock mid-afternoon. High UV index, safe sun time 20 minutes, a low risk of rip currents. In the Longport Media 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Dan Skelvin.
Thanks, Dan. The current ocean temperature is 76 degrees. It's 88 in Mizpah, 86 in Strathmere, and 84 degrees on the world-famous Atlantic City Boardwalk. I'm Warren Prosser, WOND News. Keep it here for more breaking news throughout the day. Bob Burns in your afternoon continues on News Talk 1400 WOND, South Jersey's News Talk leader.
News Talk 1400 WOND takes a look in the rearview mirror for the way it was in Atlantic City. Here's the singing lifeguard, Jim Crane, to tell us more.
Today we're going to take a look in the rearview mirror of Atlantic City, way back to the year of 1948. You may have been among the huge throng gathered for the dedication ceremonies when the Atlantic City Municipal Stadium at Bader Field opened October 22, 1948. It cost $350,000. Plans were already being made to celebrate the resort's 100th birthday coming up in 1954, and a group met for the first time to lay the groundwork. The famous Tucker automobile, which was far ahead of its time, was creating a mild sensation, displayed on a huge revolving turntable on the Hammett's Million Dollar Pier. Beautiful machine, with many innovations which would not appear on production cars for many years. The Tucker's most unusual feature was the Cyclops-style headlamp mounted between the two conventional ones. The car never got into mass production, and only very few were made. But it made an appearance here in Atlantic City, way back in the year of 1948. And I'm Jim Crane. Please have a wonderful day.
Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. That's why they offer one-on-one partnership and reliable business PCs with Intel Core processors to help you get business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
I'm Bob, and this here is my place.
You're going to get some opinions.
I'm Bob. Would you knock me out, please?
Mixed in with a little news, the latest weather, some sports, and maybe even a little reminiscing.
That is from a song from 1962.
And you're almost guaranteed to hear something that's going to make you smile.
Bob, we love playing here tonight.
But if you're not careful, you might even learn a thing or two.
Very interesting.
Live from the studios of Longport Media, it's time for Bob Burns in your afternoon.
We'll talk to Bob.
And now, here's Bob.
Hey, what's going on? As promised, Eric Rich is in the studio. How you doing, Eric?
Not too bad. Of course, it's easy to be doing good. I'm off tomorrow. I'm off for the rest of the week.
You're off for the rest of the
week. Rest of the week and even the first couple of days of next week.
Get out.
Yeah, kids start back to school on Wednesday, so I'm off tomorrow through next Tuesday.
Because the kids are off.
Yeah, so I always feel guilty because I feel like I never get to do as much with them as I should.
Yeah.
So, no, that's right. True. We do a lot, but, you know, I just wanted the last week to, like, just do stuff with them.
They start
They start 2 days?
Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
geez.
Tomorrow we're going to go down to Inner Harbor and go to the aquarium, sleep over, and come back on Wednesday.
That'd be cool.
Thursday we're going to go to the water park and the Eagles game. So, yeah, we got all kinds of fun stuff planned. So.
Plus they went fishing this weekend.
They went fishing last week. They caught a ton of fish. Not any keeper. Well, actually, I caught a couple of kingfish. But yeah, they were catching all kinds of fish.
Wow, that's cool.
You know, mostly sea robins and, you know, undersized black bass and flounders that we had to throw back. But they don't care. They just want to reel stuff in.
Somebody tells me the sea robin is a good fish to eat. I don't know if that's true or not.
I didn't think you could eat them, could you?
I don't know. I thought it. Well, I listened to Shep on Saturday mornings, and they.
Oh, maybe. I always thought you couldn't eat them, but.
Yeah, occasionally they talk about the. I thought it was sea robins. There's a special way you got to clean them, though. But
Cooper, Coop caught the first fish on the boat, and that was a really big sea robin.
Really?
Yeah, he was all excited.
I guess so.
Took a bunch of pictures and all that kind of stuff. That's great. Then I basically was like the mate, because then I was up in the front of the boat and I was helping other people, so I'm like. Basically, just helping bait hooks and you know, take fish off of lines. But
did you take all three kids?
I took two. I took the boys, and then Riley and Chrissy did their own thing. They went to, they were going to go to paint pottery or something, but it was closed, so they went to the rides instead. So.
Ah, that's good. Rides aren't bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Rides aren't bad.
Yeah, so they had fun and they did their thing. We did our thing, and then went to dinner afterwards, and that was about it.
Wow, you're popular. Start off with Alex from Buna. Alex from Buna has a question for Eric. Alex, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, Bob. Good afternoon, Mr. Rich.
How are you, Alex?
I read a business article this morning that really won't affect me, but it should scare everyone in the United States. They said at a minimum, half of the adults in the United States, that's at a minimum now, so it might be higher, have only $5,000 or less saved or invested for retirement.
That's a true statement.
And I only bring it up because I wonder why the trade group for financial advisors and investment companies doesn't start running public service ads that really scare people into thinking about this. You know, I was listening to a show yesterday where a woman in her mid-80s still owed over $100,000 on her home. You could say, well, okay for the 50% that thought about their future, but if that's true and this number of people all hit retirement at the same time, it's going to be a financial disaster. They're not going to raise Social Security because the trust funds aren't in good shape. So I just would like to hear your opinion on, you know, what you think could be done. The government doesn't want to do anything because they don't want to scare people, but how do you get people to stop thinking about, well, maybe I shouldn't lease that car, maybe I should drive an older car and start saving money for retirement? It seems like people just don't want to think about it.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's kind of a unique situation because this is the first big demographic shift now where we kind of went from everybody had a pension and therefore didn't need as much savings for retirement to now almost nobody has a pension and everybody needs to think about saving for retirement. So it's kind of a very unique time in our history. That statistic is true. I mean, the savings number is shockingly low. And I think you hit the nail on the head. The government doesn't want to talk about it a whole lot because, one, it draws attention to the fact that Social Security is in trouble. It's actually in more trouble than people think because when they did the projection of when Social Security would run out, they assumed a 5% return on their investment. And Treasury, you know, and all they invest in, obviously, is Treasury. So when that number's down around 2%, that really becomes a nightmare. So it's actually probably running out in the next, probably my guess would be 3 years, 4 years. So
yeah, I just wanted to say, and I think people are banking, and that's a poor choice of words, that they're somehow going to be house rich. But if you have a bunch of people in that predicament with no retirement savings or investments, all starting to cash in their houses, you know what's going to happen to the real estate market. It's going to go down.
Yeah.
And it's not the answer. I have my opinions why this is. I think too many, you know, there's things you need in life. You need a house, you need a car, you need a mobile phone. But I think too many people think I need not the house that's sufficient for my need. I need a McMansion.
Right. I need or an iPhone or a new car.
Every 2 years so I could drive around in this fancy car.
Yep.
I don't need a mobile phone that'll be sufficient. I need the new iPhone so I can wait in line for it and spend, I guess they're going to be over $1,000. And I think that drives a lot of it is consumerism. But I really think that this will cause not people not saving for retirement. And look, it's not going to help you, but I'll give you a simple explanation. I just throw change in a container for a year, and by the end of the year, I always have $500 or $600. So people say it's impossible to save. Maybe more people use debit cards and they wouldn't do that. But the point I'm making is it's not impossible. You just have the will to do it. So do you think your trade associations will ever start talking about this? Because the government isn't going to talk about it.
No, you're right. There's actually a lot of talk in the CFP board, the Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, the governing body for certified planners. They're talking about it, and they're trying to – where it really has to start is in schools, because we've kind of gotten away in schools from even talking about this. And if you don't talk about it in school, which we don't talk about half the stuff in school, you know, there's no home economics and stuff in a lot of these schools, then it really becomes a problem, because you're going to have a whole generation of people that grow up without that background and without people saying how important it is to save for retirement and the future and all that kind of stuff, that it really is going to have a big impact. I personally think they're hoping – I don't think they're hoping to cash out their houses. I think they're hoping for a bailout like the banks and everybody else got. I think they're just going to assume, you know what, if we're all broke together, the government's going to have to raise Social Security or raise the standard of living, or, there's some countries that are starting to actually just flat out pay people a living wage. So basically, like, people who are underemployed, they're just going to pay them for nothing. And unfortunately, that's going to fall on the rest
of life. It's going to be so that you could get by. And if people think that they're going to live like they're living now, the problem with teaching it in school, which I agree with you, is that those children, and that's what they are, go home and they see their parents doing just the opposite. And what do you think that kid thinks?
Exactly. It's where you learn it. I mean, that's people, you know, the same goes for crime. You know, why do kids like? Well, that's because it's the only thing the kids ever seen. So of course they're you know. So you're right. I mean, unless it's taught at home and unless it's taught everywhere, and I think that's the big shift between the generation who lived through the Depression and the generation after who didn't. And that's where a lot of that 50% comes from. The new statistic apparently is that Gen Y actually is a really good group of savers. The downside is they don't like the stock market as much because they lived through 2009 at an impressionable age. But they're starting to get over that, apparently. But, that really is a problem. And what's going to happen is, they'll all manage because they'll be forced to lower their standard of living to the point of basic necessities. But the impact is going to be, what does that do to the economy, when people don't spend and they just get by on the basics? Then they're not really contributing to the economy, and GDP starts to fall and everything else. You know, you could see yourself in a really long recession if that happened. Really,
well, that's what concerns me, and I'll just end it there. But I did hear a young man, and he's the exception, 24 years old. He just bought 14 acres up in the Pine Barrens, and they asked him how he did it. He says, I didn't go to college. He says, but I got two jobs out of high school. I live with my parents. I contributed to my parents, and I saved every nickel I got. I drove around a beat-up car. I learned carpentry. I got a job with a builder. He says, I'm going to be building my own home and everything. And people were amazed. But all it proved to me, I didn't think it was amazing. I just said that this kid's got a head on his shoulders, and he understands nobody's going to take care of you, including the government. But I wish that there was a way that, again, even through TV commercials or something, maybe we could show old people, you know, sitting in a shack and a rocking chair and say, this is going to be your future if you don't start thinking about it or something. But anyway, I appreciate your opinion, and hopefully some other people heard it and will at least think about it.
No, it's great, Alex. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
Take care, Bob.
See ya. We're talking with Eric Rich from Rich Asset Management in Marmore, New Jersey. His phone number there is 609-486-5073. He also has a website, which is richassetmanagement.com. Give him a call, and we'll be right back after these messages from the place where I buy my chicken wings, Manco Manco, the first and last name in pizza. I bought lots of chicken wings Friday night. We'll be back.
The following is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. This has been a test of the emergency alert system. Had this been an actual emergency, the attention tone you just heard would have been followed by official news, instructions, and information. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Hi, I'm Jim Crane for the Pleasantville Music Shop, where it's back to school time. They have the lowest price band rental program for all the area schools. They have everything musical. They have all the accessories in stock now for your music students' needs. Have your own instrument? We'll check it out for you. If it needs repairs, we can do that too. We have all the music books that the teachers require in stock now. Don't forget, we also have a full line of pianos and keyboards, guitars and basses, drums and cymbals. We've got everything musical. With over 70 years experience and 3.5% sales tax. That's Pleasantville Music Shop, 15 East Black Horse Pike in Pleasantville. Phone 609-641-4600. That's 609-641-4600. Stop on in for the lowest price band rental for all the area schools. That's Pleasantville Music Shop. Swing on in today.
Thomas Heist is here to earn your trust. We're confident you'll benefit from us. Our focus is on people, for business and family. You'll like the way we do business. Thomas Heist Insurance Agency.
Did you know that bundling your policies may save you money? Ask about discounts for combining your home and auto policies and other discounts that you may qualify for. Saving you time and money is our priority. Call us today. I'm Tom Heist, and you'll like the way we do business.
You'll like the way we do business. Thomas Heist Insurance Agency.
Celebrate our 40th anniversary all summer at Resorts Casino Hotel, home to Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville and Landshark Bar and Grill. Come for specials, live entertainment, free concerts on Landshark Beach, and 6 daily happy hours. Visit award-winning gourmet dining, Capriccio's, and Gallagher's Steakhouse. For new members, get 3x comp dollars and 3x cash back, plus a free 40th anniversary tote. Learn about our summer-long celebration and book your stay at resortsac.com. A Mohegan Sun property. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AtTheShoreOnline.com is your guide to South Jersey fun. Check out the website for information on entertainment and events from LBI to Cape May. It's fun, interactive, and easy to use. Looking for a kid-friendly happening? Check out the Fun for the Whole Family section. AtTheShoreOnline.com also has stories and information on local art, dining, entertainment, and golf. Visit the Atlantic City Insiders feature for videos and photo galleries of clubs and casinos, plus read their blogs about gambling, beer, and wine. AtTheShoreOnline.com, your guide to South Jersey fun.
For unique gift ideas, visit the Rainflores Flower Shop on Dorset Avenue in Ventnor or at the Ventnor Farmers Market every Friday at St. James Parish. For personalized small-town service, call 822-9300. The Rainflores, the boutique flower shop in Ventnor.
Now back to Bob Burns in your afternoon on News Talk 1400 WOND.
We're back with Eric Rich from Rich Asset Management, Marmora, New Jersey, 609-486-5073. So I see you got a piece. Your topic today is,
financial versus emotional decisions.
Financial decisions. But you got a piece of paper over there.
Okay. So
go ahead. Go ahead.
You can imagine how much this stands the hair up on my neck. So everyone listens to me, I'm sure, and takes my advice when they listen.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. They must. Everybody does.
All right. So, obviously, Aretha Franklin did not. She did not take my advice. So, Aretha Franklin passed away, everyone knows. Her estate is valued at roughly $80
million. $80 million.
And she died without so much as a will.
Nothing.
So that means a tax bill somewhere in the neighborhood of $27.5 million, which is astounding.
Yeah.
Poor planning, and I get a $27.5 million tax bill.
Poor planning or no planning.
Yeah. Or no planning, which is same thing.
Yeah.
And then worse, you know, so she has four kids. So they'll, you know, without a will, then it'll just go to her four kids. But worse, now, if there's no trust or anything set up, that money's going to ultimately be taxed again, you know, when it goes from them to the next generation.
Oh, yeah.
So we're skimming the surface at $27.5 million in taxes. That's kind of a disaster. And especially, you know, estate planning for people like that is really difficult because it's not just, you know, hey, I own I got a 63 split window coupe. Yeah. I can pretty much figure out what it's worth. You know, there's some variability there, but I can guess what it's worth. What are rights to songs worth?
Oh, my God.
You know, when you're valuing intellectual property, it's incredibly hard to come up with a number for that. And there are professionals who do just that. There are attorneys that can do that for you. And when you have $80 million, you can afford those attorneys.
Yeah.
So hire them and let them do their job. So not doing that, and that was the funny thing when Michael Jackson passed away. And if you value it wrong, the IRS will go back and value it for you. You can guess whether or not you think that's favorable to you or not, but I can assure you it is not.
You couldn't.
When Michael Jackson died, his family claimed that they put an estimate on his estate because he had some debt. They estimated around $2,015. That was the estate. That was the number they put on the estate return.
$2,015. Wow.
So he would be below, going to Alex's question, yeah, he was below the $5,000.
Yeah.
The IRS came back and said, well, we kind of view it more like $434
million. Big difference.
Just a little different. Oh, and by the way, at the time, you know, the estate tax number was even higher.
Yeah.
So, basically, we won about $200 million, $250 million in taxes.
Oh, my gosh.
And we want it in 9 months, and we want it in cash. You know, so that's a little unsettling.
Yeah.
Hence the reason that most of his song rights have been sold off to everybody else because they had to pay the tax bill.
And he had all the Beatles songs, too, didn't he?
Yeah. It's crazy what he had in his library. So that is a big issue. The other issue that Aretha Franklin has is that one of her four children, Clarence, apparently has special needs.
Wow.
Now, this really becomes an absolute disaster because she dies without a will. Clarence now will inherit a quarter of that money unencumbered. So any benefits he was receiving, you know, Medicaid, supplemental Social Security, any, you know, prescription plans, government-type benefits at all will be lost. And it would be lost forever. So he is now, she just hurt her special needs son by not providing for him or planning ahead for him.
Plus, he probably needs somebody to monitor the money.
And somebody's got to manage the money for him, obviously. Yeah. So now he's at risk of someone unscrupulous being in charge of the money and ripping him off. And let's face it, you know, the bigger the number, the bigger the likelihood of somebody trying to rip you off. he loses all of his benefits of every kind, yeah. and all she had to do was set up a special needs trust.
That's all.
$1,000, give or take. I mean, it's not rocket science. This is basic estate planning. So whether you have $10,000 in the bank or $80 million in the bank,
yeah.
some basic estate documents could have solved all of these problems. And now, you, like Prince, first we did it with Michael Jackson, then we went to Prince, then we've gone. You're starting to see a pattern here. People with lots and lots of money don't plan as well as people think they do.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, we do lots of shows on estate planning. Please, please, please make sure you go get basic estate planning documents done. You can even do them on the computer nowadays, but I would argue that you probably want them done by a professional who specializes in estate planning.
I would think so, too.
Do not be like Aretha Franklin.
Don't be like that. Nah.
Heed the advice, please.
Not real smart, huh?
No. For someone so unbelievably talented, she was not great with money.
She probably, and I know she had a manager. She had somebody who was telling her, probably had to be telling her, you need to do this.
Somebody she was paying.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, we're going to take our top, bottom of the hour news break from ABC Headline News, and we'll be right back after that with Eric Rich from Rich Asset Management. We'll be back.
Senator John McCain, in his own words, longtime McCain family spokesman Rick Davis read a letter the war hero penned shortly before his death.
I've often observed that I am the luckiest person on earth. I feel that way even now as I prepare for the end of my life. I've loved my life, all of it.
Davis says former Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama will speak at McCain's funeral on Saturday. He says President Trump will not be attending. At least two times today, President Trump has ignored questions from reporters about McCain's death. ABC's Jonathan Carl among those asking.
President, do you have any thoughts on John McCain?
Thank you.
Do you have any thoughts at all about John McCain?
Right now, President Trump is meeting with the president of Kenya. Questions still remain a day after a 24-year-old man allegedly opened fire at a video game tournament in Jacksonville, Florida. Christopher McFarland was among 11 people injured when a bullet grazed his head.
The images that happened to me yesterday, I will never forget.
The gunman killed two people and then, police say, took his own life. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
You're listening to Bob Burns in your afternoon on News Talk 1400 WOND.
All right, we're back. We're talking with Eric Rich from Rich Asset Management. So let's why don't we talk about the topic today?
Yeah, let's talk about the topic. I'm still like,
I know you're still fired
it's
up.
It's driving me insane about Franklin. But so financial versus emotional decisions. So I always joke with people. I say I'm a lot more of a psychiatrist than I am money manager.
Okay.
Because that's, you know, when we're talking about personal finances of people,
yeah,
you know, it's stressful, and people get stressed out about it, and I get it. You know, we all get stressed out about our own finances, so obviously we stress about other people's too. So, you know, a lot of times there's people ask a question, and there's two totally different ways of looking at it.
Okay.
So I give them both ways of looking at it, and then I try to assess which one are you, you know, of the two. So today I thought we'd talk about what are some of those more common questions, and then what are the two options, and then you can kind of figure out for yourself which one are you.
Yeah.
So the one I get probably most often is, you know, when I retire, should I pay off my mortgage? And there's a lot of factors that go into that. One is the interest rate environment you're in at the time and the interest you're paying on the mortgage.
Right.
So most, you know, my older clients, my, you know, depression era and older clients basically are always of the mindset, hey, I can't have a mortgage in retirement.
Yeah.
Younger clients are like, honestly, I could care less. If my kid inherits a little bit less, well, so be it. That's their problem, not mine.
Yeah.
You know, the real answer is dependent on you. So here's what I would say, do you pay off a mortgage? First of all, first question is what's your interest rate? You know, there's a lot of 3% mortgages out there, 3.5% mortgages out there today. If I'm paying a mortgage that's 3%, let's say, and I can possibly deduct, you know, interest and stuff on that mortgage.
Sure.
What is it really costing me? 2.5? Yeah, that's a pretty low number. So if I can invest that money and make 6, 7, 8 or whatever the market's doing, and I'm only paying 2 to 2.5.
Yeah.
Mathematically, I would not want to pay off that mortgage because I could always, because I'm earning more interest by being invested than I am paying to the bank. And that's how the bank makes money off of you.
Yeah.
you deposit money in a savings account and you get whatever it is you get today, one one millionth of a percent. Yeah. And then they loan it out for 4% and they keep the difference.
Yeah.
That's exactly how a bank makes money. You should be like a bank. You know, banks do pretty well, and it's the only way they make money.
Yeah.
You should kind of maybe think about doing the same thing. So you keep more of the money because you're earning more than you're paying. That's the financial side of it. The emotional side is I have clients who just simply cannot sleep at night knowing they have a mortgage.
Right.
And they're not working. So I have no quote-unquote income, I mean earned income,
yeah.
But I still have a mortgage. And it drives them insane. So while financially it might make sense to still have the mortgage, if you can't sleep at night, and I tell clients this literally every day of my life, if it doesn't feel right and you wrestle with it, you probably shouldn't do it. Period. And it goes for anything in life.
Yeah.
You know, if it doesn't make sense, whether it's an investment or you know paying off a mortgage or whatever, if it doesn't feel right, you probably shouldn't do it. So if you're not going to sleep at night, pay off the mortgage. It might not be the best financial decision, but if you sleep better at night, then do it.
Sure, yeah.
Because it doesn't mean it's not right for you. You know, there are lots of things that are right but aren't necessarily right for you. I have a client that I've had forever, very young person at the time, made lots and lots of income, was terrified of the market. Never wanted to buy anything but municipal bonds.
Yeah.
Never, anything. And it used to drive me insane. I'm like, you're giving up millions of dollars at retirement because you're in a low interest earning. Didn't matter. He literally couldn't sleep at night.
Wow.
So you know what? That's what he buys. I tell him, you got to save five times as much money. Great, then I'll save five times as much money. And that's what he does. So like, okay, you know, and if it works for him, and it took me the first 10 years of my career to be like, hey, you know what? It's okay.
Yeah,
you know?
It's all right. Yeah.
Just because it has to be right for that person. So that, you know, do I pay it off? Do I not pay it off? If I have money invested and it's in, I can always use it to pay it off later.
Yeah.
But once I pay it off, I can't necessarily go the other way. So that's just one thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
And if I'm earning more interest, and I don't mean market drops and things like that, I just mean in general, you know, if I'm earning more interest over a long period of time than I'm paying out, I probably shouldn't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Unless I can't sleep at night. You know, that one of the ones that follow that is, hey, I have a pile of money here. I am never going to spend it in my lifetime. I know this. And I invest it very conservatively because I'm enter X age.
Yeah.
75, 85 years old. And I'm trained because I'm 80 years old to or 85 years old to not invest in anything remotely aggressive. But at the same time, I'm saying I will never... There's no way on earth I'm ever going to spend this money.
Yeah.
Well, then the question becomes, well, then who's the money for? Like, what are you doing with the money? Oh, it's for my kids.
Yeah.
Well, how old are your kids? 50. Okay, well, then maybe you should invest it like a 50-year-old would invest it.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to, you know, it doesn't really matter if the market fluctuates because you're not ever going to spend it anyway.
Yeah.
Why not earn as much money as you possibly can because it's only going to them anyway? Now, and I don't mean like, well, what if a catastrophic illness happens? I mean, you're not going to use the money.
Yeah.
You've prepared, you know, let's say you had me as an advisor, insert joke here, and you did all the things you should ever do in life to get it right. You're literally never going to need the money. Then I would argue that you maybe want to invest it, as though you are someone who's going to spend it 20, 30 years from now and not someone who's spending it today.
Yeah.
But again, There's that 1% chance that I'll need the money.
Yeah.
99% chance I won't. I will tell you, if there's that 1% chance, most people will not do it. They will not invest more aggressively because just mentally there is a chance that I could use it. And they've kind of been trained, you know, throughout life to say, hey, that's how it might be. But again, if you really have to assess, will I use this? If I have long-term care insurance and I have health insurance through through my pension or something with, you know, that came with my package,
yeah.
And everything else, and I'm not going to use the money, and there is no catastrophic thing that's going to happen that's going to make me spend all of this money, you know, realistically, then maybe you want to consider investing it more aggressively,
yeah.
With the knowledge that hey, I'm probably not going to use this money anyway. You know, so invest it as though whoever's getting it would invest it.
So there's no cookie cutter answers then?
No, there isn't. You know, and that's, and I have people who come to me all the time and say, I get it. I know exactly what you're saying, and I believe it 100%.
Yeah.
I'm still not going to do it.
Still not going to do it.
Because something in them says I shouldn't do this, or I don't feel comfortable yet doing it.
So how long did it take you to change your mindset?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, it took me. Well, I'm hard-headed, so I'm, you know. So it took me probably 10 years to change my mindset.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, you know. And I always say, at the end of the day, it's not my money.
Yeah.
It's your money. So if you feel comfortable doing X and not Y,
yeah,
then do X.
Okay.
It doesn't. I can know that it's not necessarily the right thing for you financially all day long. It doesn't matter. It's your money, and you're the one that has to sleep at night. If that's the case, then we're going to do what you want to do. You know, and I run this, literally, this is a weekly conversation. you know, I can pick 100 different people I can date, you know, that have, I've had this situation where I know they should be more aggressive than they are.
Right.
But if they don't sleep at night and it just doesn't quite feel right to them, I can talk to them blue in the face. It doesn't matter. And they shouldn't. And not only that, they shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because there's no amount of me talking to them that's going to change their mind.
No.
Now, what I have had happen is I tell them, hey, look, you really should be this way. We're going to do it your way, but you probably should do it this way.
Yeah.
I always do it their way. And then what I typically do is say, okay, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, where are we in this? You know, then they say, oh, you know what? Yeah, you're kind of right. Okay, a little bit more. I'll be a little more aggressive, yeah, or whatever. So, you know, maybe their mind changes a little over time, but I've always been of the mindset, you know, at least the last 15 years, of, hey, if it doesn't feel right,
yeah,
just don't do it. You can always revisit it later. You know, nothing that we do in the investment world is set in stone for the rest of your life.
They don't fall behind. They just don't go as far ahead as you think.
Right. And like in the, you know, in my friend's example, I said, listen, you're going to have to save way more money. You know, if you're relegating yourself to a life of 3.5% return, 4% return, versus the market, but twice that, you're going to have to save a lot more money. And his response was, fine, I'll just save a lot more money. Now, to me, I want to say then, well, geez, if you save that much money and you got the bigger return, you know,
yeah,
that much more money,
happen, yeah,
it doesn't matter, because that's not how he thinks. So that's fine. Then you save twice as much money, 3 times as much money, 5 times as much money, and you'll still get to the same number. It just hurts a little more.
We're talking with Eric Rich from Rich Asset Management in Marmore, New Jersey. His phone number there is 609-486-5073. If you call this week, you get to talk to Amy. She gave you off? She let you take off?
She did let me take off. Well, yeah, she did. I don't know. I haven't taken the time off yet, so I don't know. She's actually
going to she hasn't let you. Yeah, you don't know yet for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
there may be, you know, there may be some pullback in there. That,
tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, you'll know for sure if you had the day off.
Yeah, right? she'll probably make me work the weekend. But. Actually, I'm working Sunday. That's technically, I'm technically working Sunday.
Okay. We'll be right back after these messages.
News Talk 1400, WOND.
Hi, my name is Cindy Birch. My husband Bob and I are the founders of Heart of Surfing, a nonprofit organization that offers free surfing every Saturday for children and adults with autism and other special needs. Our son Jamie was diagnosed with autism 20 years ago when it was still considered very rare. Did you know that now in New Jersey, 1 in 34 children are diagnosed on the autism spectrum? That's the highest rate in the country, and in fact, the world. Whether your family is impacted by autism or not, summer at the shore means surf, sand, and fun. If you have a child with special needs or autism, join us on the beach. For more information, you can follow Heart of Surfing on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or check out our website, heartofsurfing.org. Or you can call 609-705-5323. That number again is 609-705-5323. We hope to see you on the beach.
Looking for a career change? Was your job recently eliminated? finding it difficult to secure the right opportunity in Atlantic County? If you're passionate, highly motivated, and love to sell, Longport Media, owner of News Talk 1400 WOND, wants you. Longport Media, locally owned and operated, is hiring salespeople right now at its Linwood, New Jersey-based radio stations. As a commissioned salesperson, your earning potential is unlimited while representing beloved, well-known radio brands at the Jersey Shore. Plus, Longport Media offers fully paid medical benefits. 2 years of outside sales experience is preferred. A college degree is not required. See why Longport Media employs salespeople who have been with our radio stations, including News Talk 1400 WOND, for over 20 years. Start making great money today by emailing your resume to family-owned and operated Longport Media at jobs@longportmedia.com. That's jobs@longportmedia.com. Longport Media is an equal opportunity employer. Get control of your life today by changing your radio station to WOND.
Get ready for Allen Shoes' annual SAS sale. They're at 331 Tilton Road in Northfield. And for more than 100 years, Allen's has provided South Jersey with the area's best selection of high-quality shoes with built-in comfort features. They'll measure your feet, discuss your needs, and work hard to address any foot issues you may have. Thursday, August 23rd through Monday, the 27th, stop by for Allen's annual SAS sale and get $15 off any regular price pair of SAS. If you're looking for an American-made footwear brand that's known for superior quality and incredible comfort, look no further than SAS Shoes. Handmade in San Antonio, Texas, and available locally at Allen Shoes. Allen's welcomes your questions in person at 331 Tilton Road in Northfield or call 609-646-3515. Come into Allen's and let them make your feet happy.
Carmine's, AC's number one Italian family-style restaurant located at the corner in the Tropicana, offers takeout delivery to your home, office, the beach, and anywhere in the South Jersey area. Carmine's, everybody's favorite family-style restaurant, will come to you with their homemade Italian favorites all ready to be served. Carmine's, AC's number one Italian restaurant, delivers directly to you. If you want to say you made it, we won't tell if you don't. If you can't come to Carmine's, we'll come to you. Visit CarminesNYC.com or call 609-572-9300. Located at the corner in the Tropicana, CarminesNYC.com.
WOND Pleasantville.
Maybe you have items that are taking up space in your house or garage, or you just don't use them and they're in good condition. Bring them to the annual flea market at Heaven's Way Baptist Church, 5082 Tremont Avenue in Egg Harbor Township, Saturday, September the 8th. The hours are from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. and tables are free, but come early to get one. If you'd like more information, call 609-788-0216. The annual flea market at Heaven's Way Baptist Church on Saturday, September the 8th.
For complete and up-to-date total traffic in South Jersey, listen weekends to News Talk 1400 WOND.
Bob Burns and your afternoon continues on News Talk 1400 WOND.
We're talking with Eric Rich from Rich Asset Management. Today's topic is financial as opposed to emotional decisions.
Whew. I know. That's a tough one.
It is.
That's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
This one I get all the time, and people wrestle about this so much. And ironically, it's the easiest one to answer because it's a mathematical formula.
Okay.
So do I take the lump sum pension or do I take the annuity? You know, do I take the payments for the rest of my life or do I take the lump sum?
Yeah.
And then from there, do I leave it to my spouse? You know, so do I take the lump sum or the annuity is really easy. It's a calculation.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, I have software for it because God only knows what I spend on software. But it's pretty easy because how much am I going to earn on the lump sum to give me the monthly payment that I would have gotten had I taken that instead?
Forever.
Forever. So, or at least for your life expectancy.
Right.
Because your kids don't get a pension. Your spouse can, you know, you can continue it to your spouse, but you can't, you're not continuing it to the next generation.
Right.
So if that's the case, then for you and your spouse's lifetime, let's say it's 25 years or 30 years. Let's say 30. Okay, for 30 years, how much money do I have to have sitting on a shelf earning X percent? And I use it, you know, be a little more conservative on the interest rate. Don't assume market return. So don't say 9.5% or something. Be realistic. Say something like 5 or 6%. And if I can earn that, how much, you know, what does that calculate out to? So that's actually a really easy one. I've seen, and the function is not the same for everyone. It's your pension plan, because the way they calculate your lump sum versus your payment is different for everybody.
Yeah, okay.
So it's an interest rate calculation is what you're trying to solve for, basically. I've seen as low as 0.8%. If you need to earn 0.8% on the lump sum,
yeah,
take the lump sum.
Yeah.
It's a real easy answer. If you can't earn more than 0.8%, you need to fire whoever it is you are working with over a long period of time because you're doing terrible.
Yeah.
I've seen it as high as 13.5%.
Really?
Okay, if you need to earn 13.5% and some advisor says, oh, don't worry, I can do that.
Yeah, sure.
You might want to run the other way and take the annuity instead because the lump sum is not the smart thing for you.
Okay.
So any time that break even is 5-6%,
yeah,
you know, then it's a judgment call. I typically at 5 or 6% would take the lump sum.
Uh-huh.
Because again, let's say I earn 5.5% of my money. And I need 6 for it to, you know, last forever. But my wife and I both die, and there's only $75,000 left in the account. And I'm, of course, making this up. Your kids get that $75,000 if you took the lump sum.
Okay.
If you took the pension, payments, they get nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a pretty easy calculation from that standpoint. So that's a real easy one. If you're wrestling with that, please do not do that. It's easy to solve. Just call me, and I'll do the math for you.
Yeah.
Real easy. The second part of that is, do I take all the pension 100% to myself? Like, let's say the option is, okay, you want the pension payment.
Yeah.
Do I take it all to myself or do I leave 100% to my spouse or somewhere in between?
Yeah.
Usually it's 100% to the spouse, 75%, 50%, 25% or 0%. That's a fairly easy calculation as well, because again, there's the same type of calculation for hurdle rate. What I do there a little differently is first thing I always ask is, how's your health? If you're in good health, then what I take is the number, the difference between what is the amount you're going to get. Let's say I'm going to get $4,000 a month if it's just me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to get $3,000 a month if I continue it to Chrissy. But I want Chrissy to have the money, so therefore I'm going to say $3,000. What I do is I say, okay, so the difference between the two is $1,000 a month. I go to an insurance company, and I say, how much life insurance can I buy for $1,000 a month?
Yeah.
That will give me a lump sum number based on my age and health and everything else. If that number, then earning, just like the last calculation we did, if that earned 5 or 6%, how long would that last to pay her $3,000 a month for the rest of her life?
Okay.
So that's a pretty easy calculation, too. It's called pension maximization. So do I take the biggest amount for myself and live on the smaller amount, because I was going to do that anyway if I gave it to Chrissy, and instead I take the larger amount and I buy insurance with the difference. My spendable income has not changed at all.
Yeah.
I'm just sending that $1,000 to the insurance company rather than leaving it to the pension place. Because there's a couple considerations. One, will my spouse even outlive me? Now, you know, Chrissy's grandmother's 101 years old. So there's a lot of genetic on her side that says, hey, maybe she's going to live a really long time. But I have lots of spouses that either won't outlive them, or if they do, what are they likely going to outlive by? I mean, if I'm a really healthy person when I retire, and I'm going to live 25 years in retirement, what's my spouse going to live me by? 3 more years?
Yeah.
I gave up $1,000 a month for the last 25 years so that she could get 3 years worth of a couple $1,000 a month.
That's
a bad deal. You know what I mean? That's a terrible deal. So will they outlive me? How long will they outlive me? And then how do I feel about leaving an inheritance? Because again, my spouse isn't going to get my pension. So if they're not going to get the pension, or my spouse might get it, but my kids won't.
Yeah.
Well, if I had to, let's say Chrissy predeceased me, or within a year of me, but that $1,000 a month bought me $500,000 worth of life insurance. My kids get that $500,000 minus the couple payments she got.
Yeah,
they still walk away with $500,000.
Wow,
potentially tax free. That's a lot of money. So that's a calculation as well. In that. And again, everybody wants to take care of their spouse, so they're always like, oh, let's do it all that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have lots of scenarios where, no, that doesn't work. That's not the smart thing to do. Find out how much insurance you could get for that difference in payment, and you'd be amazed. I mean, we write for 97 different insurance companies, so, like, I don't care where it goes. But you know, we just did one for somebody the other day, and they already had enough insurance, you know, that we could back down the amount of insurance they had, and it still works mathematically. So, and again, they're never going to run out of the money, you know, based on the calculation we did. Yeah. They'd have to live something like 60 years before it was even close. Well, yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah.
You know, when we're already retired. So there's technically correct answers, you know, which is the financially correct answer. But then there's the emotional side of it, which is, yeah, I know what the technical answer is, but I still don't want to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And my job is to kind of be the mediator between those two. So, yes, yeah, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Whatever option you choose should be, you should get a couple different people's input, you know. I always say, obviously, you want your planner's input. And again, it goes without saying you want a certified financial planner doing this kind of math.
Yeah.
But also your accountant. You know, even your attorney, you know, your estate attorney. You want all, but definitely your CPA as well. Get the input of these different people to kind of come up with a smart decision. But a lot of people, because it's not a tax thing, they don't talk to their accountant about it. Or it's not an investment thing, so they don't talk to people like me about it.
Uh-huh.
Don't make those decisions on your own. There's zero reason to do that. You know, pick up the phone. It's a very simple calculation. I'll do it for anybody that has that question. But it's pretty easy to say this is the smarter thing to do because it's all math at that point. So there's a lot of things that maybe I should do that I don't want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and there's sometimes when it's right for some people but not others. But, you know, the reality is there is no one size fits all. It's not everyone should pay off their mortgage in retirement. It's not everybody shouldn't.
Yeah.
It's not everybody should take the lump sum versus the annuity or the continue to spouse versus not, you know, all of those things a lot of times are a calculation on what makes more sense.
Now, that thing with the life insurance where you take $1,000 and you buy the life insurance policy, right? So you take your full retirement, whatever it might be.
To you only, nothing to my spouse.
And you get you allocate $1,000 to buy a life insurance policy.
Yep.
How does that go over when you explain that to people?
Well, at first, Some people get it right away, some people don't get it right away. But what I do is I always show the math behind it.
Uh-huh.
So I say, look, the $1,000 a month, and again, I'm making these numbers up, buys $500,000 in a lump sum.
Yeah.
$500,000 at blank percent is going to give your spouse the pension that they would have gotten for the next 39 years.
Okay.
Will they outlive you by 30? And that's assuming you literally get hit by a bus walking out my door.
Yeah.
Will they outlive you by, and I'm, again, making these numbers up, 39 years?
Uh-huh.
No, there's no way on earth. Okay, then why would you do that?
Yeah.
You know, mathematically, why, you know, and worse, you know, again, your spouse predeceases you or something else, you gave it up for nothing.
Yeah.
And some pensions revert back if a spouse, you know, to the higher number if a spouse dies. I get that. But none of it's continuing to the kids.
Uh-huh.
So if you have kids and your spouse isn't going to spend the money, then I'd rather see you get a big lump sum, which is also tax-free in most cases, life insurance, you know, payment.
Sure.
They can make their own pension, you know, take a couple $1,000 a month out of the account. It's got to have $1 million. It goes a long way.
Yeah.
And whatever I don't spend goes to the kids.
Yeah.
Everybody wins in that deal. But again, you have to be healthy. And healthy is a relative term. I don't mean you take a couple of medications. I mean, you know, something wrong with you.
Yeah.
So as long as you're healthy and, you know, the difference between those two numbers is big enough, it makes sense. I've seen it where the difference between two numbers is $100 a month. $100 a month isn't going to buy anything. Don't bother.
Yeah.
Continue it to your spouse.
Okay.
But when you have those big differentials between all to you and all to your spouse, that's where it really works the best.
That's something.
And most clients will do that when they see the math.
The first time I heard that explained to me, which was a bunch of years ago about the life insurance, it just clicked. It made logical sense. And I was never successful in explaining that to anybody.
Well, people don't think that, you know, like a lot of people just don't even think that as an option.
Yeah.
But it really makes sense. It works extremely well for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, we've just had the case. We've probably done 4 or 5 this year alone. But we just had an example of it where it worked, you know, very, very well.
How about that? Jeez. That's pretty cool. That's a cool subject. I like the fact that you said it's not cookie cutter. Not everybody's exactly the same.
No, there's actually almost no two exactly. So unless you both work for the same company, then I can tell you what the hurdle rate is for your pension distribution. You know, after a while, I get to know all the companies and what your pension is. But otherwise, it's you know, it's your situation is the bigger factor, not just the pension side. So,
how about that?
So that's the real math on it.
It's always cool stuff when you come in, Eric. It just never ceases to amaze me. So you enjoy your time off there, a couple days off.
I like
Raising hell with the kids.
That's right. Inner Harbor for a day, little Eagles game, some surfing. It's going to be a good. It's going to be a good week.
Yeah, we went to Inner Harbor once. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've never taken them, so they'll love it. I'm sure.
Oh, it's a great place to go.
They love aquariums and stuff, so I'm sure they'll get a kick.
And when I was a kid, they called that the Strip.
Yeah.
And when we used to drive down there, we had to lock the doors even in the summertime. It's a lot different today. We've been with Eric Rich from Rich Asset Management in Marmore, New Jersey. His phone number there is 609-486-5073. You can get him at richassetmanagement.com also. Give him a call. He'll help you out with all the stuff you need to get done. I'll be in for the next hour, so I'll be here until 4 o'clock. We'll be back.
Live and local radio you can depend on.